Thank you and welcome. I'm Father Mitch Packle. Welcome to EWTN Live, where we bring you guests from around the world. Our guest tonight had been serving as pastor of a small, primarily Polish-American parish in Dudley, Massachusetts for several years. But the parish was in spiritual and material decline until a renewed intentional devotion to the parish's patron saint, Saint Andrew Bobula, began to take root in the pastor and then eventually in the entire congregation. Now a shrine is being dedicated to honor the powerful intercession of this Jesuit saint, Saint Andrew Bobula. And our guest is here to share his story with the world. So please welcome the pastor of St. Andrew Bobula Catholic Church in Dudley, Massachusetts, Father Krzysztof Korcz.
Thank you.
Now, you are not from Dudley, Massachusetts, are you?
No, I just came from Poland 24 years ago.
Yes.
And I am the priest of the Diocese of Worcester for 24 years. I was incarnated to the diocese on 2007.
Okay, so this is, so did they put you at St. Andrew Bobula because you're Polish?
No, I don't think so.
It just happened to work out that way.
Yeah, before this parish, I was pastor in American parish, even three parishes. It was the parish with three churches.
Mm-hmm.
And after 5 years being pastor there, when Father Joseph Schwach, the pastor of St. Duobola parish, retired, Bishop, Most Reverend Bishop Robert McManus asked me to be pastor of St. Duobola Church in Dudley in 2014.
Okay, so you've been there for now for the last 11 years.
Yes.
Now, one of the things when we talked, this parish was slated to be joined with another parish. It didn't, wasn't thriving very well, was it?
Yeah, this parish was the church was built in 1954, and pastor of St. Joseph Parish in Webster decided to build a new church in for Dudley, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And this St. Joseph Church is only 2 miles away from Dudley. So when it was a lot of immigrants from Poland after World War II, he decided to build new church, and this church, this parish was growing until I think 2010, because after that I saw that, you know, the declination of the parishioners is causing by no immigrants from Poland, so.
And I suspect that a lot of the people who had come from Poland were now succeeding. They were doing economically better and probably moving to newer houses and such as that. That's part of the situation for a lot of cities and towns where people keep, you know, moving, you know, upwardly, and, you know, the old, they don't bring the church with them when they go.
But the problem is that we have two Polish churches very near to each other.
Uh-huh.
Webster and Dudley is only 2 miles.
I see.
And now the St. Joseph Parish became the St. Joseph Basilica with a nice, you know, parish center with parish school. So younger generation go to St. Joseph Basilica, and my parish started to, you know, to decline.
Sure.
So now, if you don't have new immigrants, it is the, the problem because, you know, Saint Bobola wanted, you know, to help this parish to grow. But because of this situation, when we don't have new immigrants from Poland and we have two churches very close to each other, this is the problem.
Yeah, sure. Now, you know, took on this situation, you know, thought maybe it might close, but something changed as you got to understand more about Saint Andrew Bobola himself. Getting to understand and know him better was part of the transformation of the parish, correct?
Yes, because when I started my ministry at this parish, I was trying to build up this parish. But after pandemic, I gave up because after the pandemic, the number of parishioners declined to 120 parishioners. So I decided to go to my bishop, Most Reverend Robert McManus, the Bishop of Diocese of Worcester, to talk about you know, emerging this parish to St. Joseph Basilica. Mm-hmm. And when I scheduled the meeting on June 29, 2023, the bishop office canceled this meeting day before. And it was providential because after that I saw some signs from God and Saint Bobola that he wants to save this church. After a few days, when the meeting was canceled, I got a call from Chicago from a man who wanted to reserve a mass in Thanksgiving for his wife because she got sick. She got stroke and the family was praying to Saint Bobola for recovery. So I said to him, why you call me? Call to the National Shrine in Warsaw, because it was a miracle. And he said, no, Father, because I had a dream to reserve this mass at Saint Andrew Bobola Church in United States. And when I started to look on internet, I found your parish, and this is the only one church in United States. So I was shocked because I did not know about that this is only one church. I did not know much about Saint Andrew Bobola. I knew that he was the martyr of 17 centuries. So I started to read more about him. And I did not know that he was appearing in his native parish in Strachocina for almost 50 years, mm-hmm. coming at the same time during night, 10 minutes after 2, knocking to the doors of the pastors of the bedroom, and many of them were scared. They left the parish, but on 1982, young priest came from the Catholic University of Lublin to cover masses because the last pastor got sick because of the visions. So when I was reading the stories, I got some thoughts that he is asking me to start devotion, to venerate him as a patron of this parish, because we did not pray before. We did not have any devotions to Saint Bobola in our parish, and we did not celebrate the feast day on May 16. So I started to pray the litany to Saint Bobola every day after communion and also on Sundays. And took me only 2 weeks to pray. When I got another sign from the lawyer who called me and said that one of my parishioners who died 1 year ago left some big sum of money from her estate. So I was shocked again because I considered this as some kind of care of the patron to save this church. Mm-hmm. And I got some thoughts that maybe he wants to have a shrine here, because it is only one church, United States. We have the first class relic. So I was praying and thinking what to do with this, you know, how I can say to my bishop, Most Reverend Robert McManus, for the meeting which I am going to have soon, because this meeting was postponed for a month. And, you know, when I met Bishop, Saint Drew Bobola gave me the courage to say these stories, what happened after the meeting was canceled. And I started with the negative thoughts about this parish, negative aspects of the parish life, that, you know, the number of the parishioners declined to 120 parishioners after pandemic, that we don't have many baptisms, weddings. And Bishop asked me at this time, so do you want to emerge this parish? I said no, because I think that Jesus did not want me to give up. And I started to say to Bishop about the positive aspect of this parish, how I can build up this parish. And I said that, you know, we don't have that, even if the number of the parishioners is only 120 families. All renovations are done, because while I was doing this renovation during these 10 years, every time when I struggle with finding, you know, some budget for the new projects, St. Drew always, you know, was bringing me good people to help with this new project. So we finished all renovations. And in addition, now the parish got a big sum of money from the state. And I also told my bishop that, you know, I think that St. Drew Bobola wants to save this church by creating a shrine. Why? Because this is the only one church in the United States. He's the greatest martyr of the Catholic Church when he was beatified on November 30th, 1853. The Pope Pius IX called him the greatest martyr of the Catholic Church. And also after the World War II, Pope Pius XII wrote encyclical on Saint Drew Bobola. This is only one encyclical about saints. And it was on 1957. And Pope Pius XII wrote this encyclical because at this time the Soviet Union was spreading the communism all over the Europe. So he was looking for a saint who will be good example for all Catholics who are suffering because of the persecutions. You know that many people suffer at this time when they witnessing their faith, they were closing churches, they put priests to prisons. And so I said to the bishop that, you know, Saint Drew Bobola is a special saint chosen by God to support Catholics, especially at the time of trials, of difficult times. And also Saint Drew Bobola is always, you know, giving signs for people who are in trouble. And I was one of them. And, you know, he was appearing after his death, because this is only one saint whom God allowed to appear, to let people know that we have a new saint, a new martyr in the Catholic Church. This happened, you know, when he was martyred. You know, after his death, he was forgotten because of many wars in Poland and many martyrs. But after 50 years, God allowed him to appear to Father Martin Godebski, director of the Jesuit College in Pinsk. He was in trouble because of the invasion of Swedish troops. So when Bobola appealed to him, said that I can help you to rescue the college, but he requested to find his coffin. And when we were searching for this coffin for 3 days, they found in the church basement. When they opened the coffin, they saw the body was incorrupt after, you know, 49 years. So it was the sign of his sainthood. And many miracles happened, and they started the process of canonization just right away. And he started to appear, you know, the next time he appeared in 1819 to Father Alojzy Korzeniewski, when he was in trouble because the Russian wanted him to stop to preach because he was doing very patriotic sermons at this time, because at this time it was no Poland on map, because we lost the freedom for 120 years.
And yeah, so a lot of folks don't know, but from the 1770s until the 1790s, Poland was divided up by Russia, the Kingdom of Prussia, mm-hmm. and the Austrian Empire. They yes. all worked together just to yeah. take Poland apart. And invading from three mm-hmm. sides,
yeah.
and those are huge empires, mm-hmm. so Poland couldn't stop it, and they just kept redividing amongst themselves. So there was no Poland on the map anywhere.
Yes.
Because as the Polish national anthem mm-hmm. says, Poland still lives as long as we live.
Yes.
But it wasn't yeah. a country.
Yeah.
So why
Saint Drew Bobola appealed to him? Because he wanted to lift up the hearts of the Polish people to fight for the freedom, you know, to regain the freedom back. And when he appealed to him, he said that the Poland is going to receive the freedom back until after 99 years, and this happened on 1918. And he appeared again at the time when Russian troops again wanted to occupy the capital city of Poland, Warsaw, and it was 1920. So at this time, the Cardinal of Warsaw called all the faithful to pray the Novena to the Blessed Saint Andrew Bobola, and at the end of the Novena, Our Lady appeared on the sky, and the Russian troops, when they saw her, they were scared and they gave up. We call this the miracle on the Vistula River. And after this, Saint Drew Bobola was very famous because all Polish people were thinking that it was because of the intercession of Saint Drew Bobola, who was praying to Our Lady to save Poland. And after that, the Russian government, when they got news that Polish people rely on help of the Blessed Saint Andrew Bobola, they decided to take his coffin and move to Moscow from Płock. And when they moved to Moscow, they put his coffin in the museum. And people who are coming to visit the museum, instead of visiting the museum, they were kneeling and praying. So they hid the coffin in the magazine. But God again intervened. And at this time was big famine in Russia. About 12 million Russians died because of the famine. So this is a very interesting story, because Pope Pius XI sent two American Jesuits with a special mission to bring back the relic to Rome. And he sent Father Louis Gallagher and Father Edmund Walsh with a special mission. But when they were preparing for the mission, they were buying a lot of grain in America and created the humanitarian, you know, mission to feed the hungry people in Russia. And they created about 20,000 soup kitchens for the hungry people. And in this way, they convinced the government, you know, to release the relic. And they brought the relic on 1923. And after a few years, the Blessed Bobola was canonized on April 17, 1938. And this is very interesting because he was canonized on Easter. It was the first canonization on Easter Sunday. It was something unusual. And, you know, after that, the Father Louis Gallagher came back to America and became the president of Boston College. So when pastor of St. Joseph Parish in Webster decided to build a new church in Dudley, he had contact with this famous Jesuit, Father Louis Gallagher. And I am sure that he convinced him that the patron of St. Jude Bobola of the new church will be in Dudley. And he brought the relic of St. Jude Bobola to our parish, and also all altars in our church was made for the special order in Rome. The statue of St. Jude Bobola, the main altar, and all altars. So when I shared this story with my bishop said, "Father Chris, I'm giving you a blessing to start preparation for elevating this church to be the shrine. Please prepare the first novena, and we will see God's will about this shrine." So when I was praying for God's will and preparing the first novena on May 7 to 15, 2024, during this first novena, St. Jude Bobola, I think, interceded in special way, because miracle happened on the third day of this novena. One of my parishioners was healed from the colon cancer. She was asking me to pray for her, and she was asking on this day many people to pray, because she knew that on this day the doctors are going to meet and make decision what kind of chemotherapy she is going to start next day. But next day, the doctor called her and said that she does not need to have chemotherapy, because the third stage of cancer reduced to 0.02, so she does not even need surgery. So she called me with joy and requested a meeting on this day, and wanted me also to ask someone who can witness, because she wants to, say something very important. So I asked Father Gregory Zieliński, who came from Poland, from the Diocese of Radom, to lead the novena, to be the witness of our meeting. And, you know, when she shared the story of her healing, I called to my bishop, Most Reverend Robert McManus, to inform him about what happened. And Bishop wanted me to write down the report about this, and allowed her to give her testimony in public during novena. And also the second time, when Bishop came for the feast day on May 16. And you can also watch this testimony on video when you visit my website, www.standrewbobola.com. So after that, when I was sure that St. Jude Bobola wants to have the shrine, confirming by this miracle, I went to Our Lady of Częstochowa Shrine I took the walking pilgrimage for 3 days and asking Our Lady, what about the future of this church? And I was very happy because I met over 1,600 pilgrims, and I was preaching during this pilgrimage to all the pilgrims, and I blessed them by the relic. And also this relic of Saint Dubovola is the first class relic in my church. And the statue is also, this is the photocopy of Saint Dubovola. It is handy carved statue in Rome, and it was ordered at the time when the church was built. And after this, I asked my bishop, Bishop McManus, to have meeting, and at this meeting I asked my bishop about God's will, about the future of this shrine, and Bishop McManus decided that on May 11, 2023, he's going to establish a shrine of Saint Dubovola in the Diocese of Worcester. And this is something unusual because this will happen on Jubilee year, and we celebrate this year when Pope Francis called us the Pilgrims of Hope. And as you know, my parish of Saint Dubovola was in hopeless situation, you know, just after pandemic. And now, in the year of hope, Saint Dubovola is going to become one of the Pilgrims of Hope, because he wants to bring this hope to all Americans in United States. I think the saint is not only for Polish people. He's the Polish saint. But what Pope 12 wrote in on this encyclical in 1857, he asked all Catholics, all ages, to follow the example of Saint Dubovola. Why? Because he's a good example how to persevere in faith, how to defend your faith, and how to help people to profess their faith. As you know, he could rescue his life when he was captured before the martyrdom, because the persecutors they wanted to give him freedom, but they wanted him to deny his Catholic faith. But he said, no, I am the Catholic priest, I was raised in this faith, and I want to die in this faith.
And, you know, die he did. You know, he was somebody that had become important for me when I was a candidate to enter the Jesuits. They gave me a little history, and I saw that there were two Polish Jesuit saints, Stanislaus Kostka and Andrzej Bobula. And in fact, a girl that I dated back in college was friends with a woman whose last name was Bobula, and she was a relative of his. So when I entered the novitiate later on, took my first vows, I took his name as a vow name. Again, not many of our guys do that, but I took his name, and yeah, he's a very impressive saint by his faithful pastoral work and the horrible martyrdom. It's a tremendous amount of suffering that he did. We have to take a little bit of a break because it's time to do that. But if you want to find out more about St. Andrew Bobula and Father Korch's parish in Dudley, Massachusetts, you can go to their website, as he mentioned before. It's standrewbobola.com. saintandrewbabola.com. We'll come back. We want to get some of your questions and your comments, so please stay with us. Thank you. Welcome back. We are discussing the Church of St. Andrew Bobula Shrine in Dudley, Massachusetts. And not only did this revived devotion to St. Andrew Bobula revive the parish, but on Sunday, May 11th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, the shrine is going to be officially dedicated as a shrine. And if you are interested in seeing the dedication mass, I myself will be there, will be preaching at it. You can do the live stream by going to, again, the website, standrewbabula.com. And you can see that on in with no problem at all. All right, but if you come to the dedication, hopefully I'll get a chance to meet some of you. I'm looking forward to being there. You ready for some questions?
Yes.
All right, let's start Thank off you. With a phone call. We have Anthony in Florida. Anthony, what can we do for you?
Hello, Father. I'm calling you today. I have a question.
Yes, sir. What is it?
Is it a St. Andrew Bobula? Is his Corpus Delicti, is that in the United States, or is it in Rome, or where is it at?
I didn't hear the first part. What, are you asking what is what in Poland or in America?
I'm wondering if his body, his remnants of his body in America, or is it in Rome?
Okay.
In Rome from the Jubilee with my wife and family, and it was a wonderful thing to see, and people should go see him and get back to the church.
Okay. Thank you, Anthony. So he wants to know, where is the body of St. Andrew Bobula today?
So the body, the coffin of St. Andrew Bobula is a national shrine in Warsaw, because after his canonization, the body was sent to Poland by a special chapel train, when many people were welcoming him in Warsaw. It was big feast. It was 2 days celebration when even the president of Poland was welcoming the relic of St. Andrew Bobula. And it was on June 28, in 1938, when the body came to Warsaw.
Okay.
And the other part of the relic is in Gesù Church in Rome, because after his beatification, they took part. The arm of St. Andrew Bobula, and they offered to Pope, and Pope sent this relic to Gesù Church in Rome.
So, Anthony, if you go to the Gesù Church, it's one of the two Jesuit churches, the San Ignacio is one, and the Gesù is the other, you can see the arm of St. Andrew Bobula. But if you go to Warsaw, you can see St. Andrew's body, the rest of his body. And it's really something quite amazing, because his body is below the altar and it's in a glass coffin. You can see his body. And the tortures that he had are still visible on his body, and you can see that because his body is still has not fallen into corruption. It's not just his bones, but also his skin, is still intact. So yeah, you can see that there as well as the arm in Rome. We have a question from our studio audience. Father, where are you from?
I'm from Evansville, Indiana Diocese.
Great. Good to have you here with us.
Good
and
to be here.
What can we do for you today?
I have a question. I was just wondering, when is the feast day of St. Andrew Bubola? And do you have any special celebration in the parish on his feast day?
Yes, so feast day is on May 16, because he was martyred on May 16, 1657. Mm-hmm. So when I became the pastor, it was no devotion, no feast day celebration. But after what happened when he gave me the signs that he want to start to venerate him in my parish, I decided to create the novena and also celebrate the feast day. So from now we are going to have celebration every year, and on this year it will be just week after the dedication of the shrine. Yes. On May 18 at noontime, we are going to welcome all pilgrims who want to venerate the relic of St. Andrew Bubola, and it will be like some Thanksgiving mass also for the dedication of a shrine of St. Andrew Bubola in Dudley, Massachusetts.
You know, it's something I didn't mention to you when you asked me to come to preach on that weekend of May 11th. May 11th is also the 67th anniversary of my first Holy Communion. I made my first communion on May 11th.
Wonderful.
A long time ago.
Yeah. But you know, I would like to invite you also for the special conference with Father Mitch Pacwa, who agreed to come for this for the celebration day before, and he's going to do two conferences about a new vocations to the Catholic faith, and also about the priestly ministry of St. Andrew Bubola. It will be on May 10, on Saturday at 11, one session, and at 4 o'clock, the second session with the last novena to St. Andrew Bubola.
So I'll be doing a St. Andrew Bubola weekend.
Yes.
And celebration.
Yeah.
And
you know,
after all these years of taking my vows and such, it's getting a little payback.
And if you want to know more about St. Andrew Bubola, you know, there's a very famous custodian of the shrine in Strachocina. You know, I mentioned that he was appearing to the pastors in Strachocina, and one of them is Father Niżnik, who was a young priest and who appeared to him, and he had the courage to light up the room when he came, and he asked him who you are and what you want. And he said, I am St. Andrew Bubola, please start to venerate me in my parish. So he started to spread the devotion, and now after a few years this church became the shrine too. And Father Niżnik was visiting our church last year, and he was planning to come this year, but because of his health he couldn't come. But he wrote a new book, The Apparitions of St. Andrew Bubola After His Death, and part of this book is my edition about my personal testimony about what kind of signs I got to create the shrine. In addition, also we printed the encyclical of Pope Pius XII. So this is very important to educate Catholics about St. Andrew Bubola, because he wants to be known by all Catholics. And what I said, he's willing to help everyone when they turn to him and pray through his intercession. Mm-hmm. So this book is going to be on the website of St. Andrew Bubola that come, and also encyclical. I've copied many copies, 30,000 copies, to spread the devotion. And now I am also traveling with the image to St. Drew Bobola, to Polish American churches. And I last month, on March, I visited 12 parishes in Chicago with this image. And I present this image to every pastor who is inviting me to the parish. And I decided that the rest of my life I want to spend by spreading the devotion and traveling with this image to the parishes. They want to welcome me. And at this time, I want to share the story of his life, his martyrdom, and his holiness. So,
and you can also get an electronic version of Pope Pius the 12th encyclical on St. Andrew Bobola at our website, in our library. And if you go to Religious Catalog, you can get the printed version of it. That is a very nice printed version if you prefer to have it in your hand rather than read it on the computer. So both of that's at ewtnrc.com. We also have another question from our studio audience. Sir, where are you from?
I'm from Montgomery, Indiana, St. Peter's Parish.
Great, good to have you here. And what's your question?
My question is, Father, are you familiar with what type of childhood or upbringing that this saint had that gave him such great faith to endure his martyrdom?
You know, St. Drew Bobola was the troublemaker when he when he was, young, because he came from the noble family. And when he entered the Jesuit seminary, he had many problems because of his character. He had very difficult character and very sharp temper. So even the rector of the seminary wanted to leave the seminary, and he asked for the last chance, to give him the last chance. And he allowed the rector to adore Jesus in the chapel during night while every seminarian was sleeping. And during this adoration, Jesus changed his character. He shaped his character. And when he was ordained as a priest, he was a very holy priest. So he was working between Catholics and Orthodox because he was suffering because of the division at this time. And they wanted him to deny his faith, he was martyred. But he's a very good example for all of us, because he was very human, like many of us. But as you see, that sainthood is for everyone. When you put everything in God's hands, when you ask Jesus to help you to overcome your weaknesses, to shape your character, you can also become saint like St. Drew Bobola.
Yeah. That's one of the characteristics. As a lot of my Jesuit friends learned more about him and what a difficult character he was, they thought it was an appropriate patron for me, especially the troublemaker part. Just saying.
Yeah.
Ma'am, where are you from?
I'm from Vincennes, Indiana, St. Francis Xavier Parish.
Oh, another Jesuit saint. Good to have you ask a question. What's your question tonight?
I was wondering how St. Andrew Bobola was martyred.
You know, he was martyred when he was working for unity among Catholics and Orthodox. And because he was converted, many Orthodox to the Catholic Church, they Eastern Orthodox were not happy with this because they were losing members.
You know, they called him, nicknamed him the Hunter of Souls.
Yeah, because, you know, he was very good preacher too. So even all villages were becoming Catholics. So it brought him many problems. So they captured him.
And so folks know, the they who captured him were a group of Cossacks.
Yes.
Were Cossacks that captured him.
Yes, and when they captured him, they tortured him very cruelly. His martyrdom is very similar to the martyrdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. They stripped off his skin from the back. They cut his fingers, the ears, nose, and even they pulled out his tongue when he was praising the Lord and asking him for help. And he died on May 16. He was martyred on this day, on May 16, 1657. And, he was, I think, 84 martyr at this time, because at this time we had many martyrs, mm-hmm. because of the divisions, the Cossacks who were, persecuted Catholics.
Mm-hmm. And part of the torment, when they said they stripped off skin, what they tried to do, or what they did, was carve into his skin the shape of a chasuble.
Yes.
For mass. And then they filled it with salt.
Yeah.
So to add to the pain. And the reason they cut off his ears and his nose is because he was praying. Mm-hmm. And they stuffed it in his mouth. And then they wouldn't, he wouldn't stop praying, and that's when they cut out his tongue. So mm-hmm. they had also, to get him, they caught him outside of town, so they dragged him behind a horse for a couple of miles before they brought him to those tortures, and they did those other tortures in a meat market. So they put mm-hmm. him on the butcher block, and that's where they were tormenting him. So this was, but through it all, he kept praying. And that's why, when they investigated his incorrupt body, again, remember, his body is incorrupt. And when they investigated it, they said he was the most tortured martyr known in the history of the church. And I think one of the things that has often struck me is that it's appropriate for him to be canonized in the 1930s. I've said many times in my shows, in the history of the church, there have been 75 million martyrs for the Christian faith, not only Catholics, but other Christians as well, but mostly Catholics and Orthodox. Of the 75 million martyrs, 40 million were martyred in the 20th century alone. So it was 35 million from the time of Christ and the apostles until 1900. And then 40 million, mostly by the communists. And it's important to note, the number of people who died in religious wars of Christianity over the last 2,000 years. People say, how many of you heard that the biggest cause of war is religion, right?
Yeah, they're always saying that.
The number who died in the history of the church in religious wars of Christianity is 2 million, about 2.5 million. But the number is about 2.5 million. Compare that to the 40 million martyrs done by the atheists who are trying to stamp out religion. That's what's dangerous. We have another question from our studio. Ma'am, where are you from?
Jasper, Indiana.
Good to have you here.
St. Joseph Catholic Church, but I was born and raised in Chicago and went to a nice Polish community, St. Mary of Częstochowa.
Yeah, oh,
in
great.
Cicero, yeah. So my question is, Sister Faustina's this Polish saint that is most recently canonized and known for the spread of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Mm-hmm. So do you know if she was familiar with St. Bola Bola and if she asked for his intercession?
I think...
Oh, great question. So we have about 3 minutes.
So I think that St. Bobola, because he was chosen by God to become the patron of Poland, so during the visions of St. Faustina, she is mentioning about St. Bobola, that he is a special saint protecting Polish people who are suffering because of the persecutions, and I think at these visions she is asking all faithful to follow the example of Saint Bola, to how to persevere in the faith of the trials about the time of persecutions. As you know, it was some kind of difficult time when, also Saint Faustina lived. It was just before the World War II, and you had many also problems with the Soviet Union. So these visions of Saint Faustina about Saint Bobola were some kind of the some patriotic calls to the Polish people to keep the faith alive and be on fire, be faithful to God, and encouraging people also to follow the example of Saint Bobola, because as you know, he was the pioneer of new evangelization. He was not afraid to knock to the doors of Catholics and Orthodox. Mm-hmm. And this is very important now for us that we also struggle with divisions now, with people who are losing their faith. So Saint Bobola wants to help us, and he encourages us, to remain faithful to God as he did.
Yeah, and to part of that learning from him is that you take the risk to get out there and evangelize as he did. And he had people who didn't often have any training in the faith, were superstitious, didn't know much, and he wanted to bring them to know Jesus Christ, and that's exactly what he did. Father, thank you very much for being over here, and I look forward to being at the shrine of the St. Andrew Bobola on May 11th, and being there for the dedication, as well as for the day before for the talks. And hopefully more people will go to the shrine and seek his intercession or learn more about him through this encyclical by Pope Pius XII. So thank you very much for being with us. And if you would join me in a blessing with the relic. Okay. Why don't you hold the relic?
But before I...
We really are out of time. Okay. So may the Lord bless you all and keep you, and by the intercession of Saint Andrew Bobola, bless you this day. And if you bless him with the cross, then
may Almighty God bless you through the intercession of Saint Andrew Bobola. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And we can bring guests like Father Korch and all of our other guests and programs, because this network is brought to you by you. So please keep us in between your gas bill, electric bill, and cable bill, and we'll pay our bills too. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you.